Shake, Maria Terrace, and Nicole Salazar. I'm Amy Goodman.
Support for WEFT comes from Urbana's Market at the Square, presented by Urbana Arts and Culture and the Urbana Farmers Market. Every Thursday in September from 6 until 9 p.m., live music, local arts vendors, food trucks, and other food vendors. You can spend Thursday nights in September with friends, family, and an appetite at Urbana's Night Market at the Square.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a broadcast of a podcast from advocate Daniel Smorkowski, host of Special Chronicles, interviewed on last week's Disability Beat. But first, disability news for the week of September 15th, 2025. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, plans to award a no-bid grant to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, or RPI, to study a long-discredited link between vaccines and autism. The CDC notice says RPI has, quote, unique ability to link children to maternal cohorts using proprietary databases, end quote, allowing advanced statistical analysis within the project's time frame. No details were provided on funding amount, study length, or timeline. RPI confirmed the notice and said biomedical engineer and data scientist Professor Jürgen Hahn, known for research on autism risk factors, would lead the work and intends to publish results. Hahn has previously published research suggesting autism can be detected through blood tests. The Coalition of Autism Scientists, representing more than 300 researchers, criticized the award as unprecedented and unnecessary. The group said, quote, extensive research has already examined potential vaccine linkages and found no cause for concern. This focus diverts resources from urgent issues affecting autistic people, end quote. U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has long promoted the vaccine autism theory, has prioritized finding causes of rising autism rates and promised announcements this month. President Donald Trump echoed the urgency, suggesting, quote, something artificially causing this, end quote. The CDC's official position remains unchanged. Experts attribute the rise in prevalence largely to better awareness, screening tools, and changes in diagnostic criteria. Autism advocates warn that reviving the vaccine debate distracts from the community's real health care and support needs. Federal officials are suing Uber, alleging the company and its drivers routinely discriminate against riders with disabilities in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA. In a lawsuit filed in the Northern District of California, the U.S. Department of Justice claims Uber, quote, fails to prevent and remedy discrimination, end quote, with drivers refusing rides to people with service animals or stowable wheelchairs, charging illegal cleaning or cancellation fees, and insulting or questioning disabled riders. The suit says Uber has not adequately trained drivers or customer service staff and does not provide meaningful remedies for those affected. Officials noted that even after Uber added a feature allowing riders to disclose service animals, complaints continued. The DOJ cites thousands of complaints annually and more than 20 specific cases of discrimination, saying some individuals now avoid Uber entirely. The Justice Department seeks policy changes, ADA training for drivers, civil penalties, and compensation for affected riders. Uber says its drivers must comply with accessibility laws, has a zero-tolerance policy for service denials, and invests in technology, training, and reporting tools, including a 24/7 service animal hotline. The company said it fundamentally disagrees with the DOJ's allegations, but remains committed to improving accessibility. And finally, the U.S. Department of Education is canceling more than $18 million in special education grants, including funding for parent resource centers, teacher training, and programs for students who are deafblind. Officials say 25 IDEA Part D grants and 9 other disability-related projects were out because they included language on diversity, equity, and anti-racism that, quote, conflicts with current administration priorities, end quote. The department says the money will be reallocated to programs that better serve special needs students. Advocates call the move unprecedented and warn it will hurt children and families, said Stephanie Smith, former director of the Office of Special Education Programs, quote, these cuts touch every corner of the special education system. Wisconsin officials say losing the 2 grants mid-cycle will directly harm services for 170 deafblind students and efforts to recruit special educators, end quote. And that's the news for this week. And as promised, here is that portion of a podcast from the host of Special Chronicles, Daniel Smorkowski, who was my guest last week. He is interviewing Eva Kott, a high school self-advocate with cerebral palsy, along with her parents, Michael and Elena Kott, who Ava spoke earlier this month at the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit in Bloomington, Illinois. You can hear the entire interview and many more at specialchronicles.com.
This is Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
Welcome to the Special Chronicles podcast, where we're giving respect and voice to people with special needs. I'm your host, Daniel Spikowski. Today, we're coming to you live from the 2025 Speak Up, Speak Out Summit here in Nomo, Illinois. And joining us right now at our podcast booth is a new friend who was just speaking during lunch, Ava.
Correct.
Welcome, Ava, and our parents.
Did we get it right?
Introduce yourselves to our listeners.
My name is Ava. I am the daughter of my parents.
Yep. Michael and
Elena.
Awesome. And it was neat to sit my dad and I to sit with you guys at lunch, and then to watch the video that they showed everybody, and then to hear you speak. So can you share just a little bit of your story of what you shared on stage with everyone, for our listeners?
Sure. I was born with cerebral palsy and dystonia. Cerebral palsy is a disability where the cerebellum is damaged, and I didn't have enough oxygen to the cerebellum, and I was born 3 months premature.
Awesome. Just like yourself, I was also, I think I was born like 3 3/4 months premature too. Wow. So we share that in common.
Yeah.
And dystonia is muscle stiffness. And dystonia and cerebral palsy are combined.
Awesome. And for your parents, can you share just a little bit from your perspectives?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the pregnancy, we had no signs of any issues. Everything seemed like it was going well. And then one day the water broke. And we ended up in the hospital. They were going to originally try to keep Ava inside her mother's belly for 3 months or at least another, a month or so? They said at least minimum. And so that night I remember in the hospital going to bed, and 6 a.m. in the morning, the doctors came in the room. They threw the scrubs at me and said, "Hey, you're having a baby. She wants to come out." And so Ava was born. She weighed about a kilo.
I weighed 1 pound 2 ounces.
Yeah, even less. She was 1 pound 2 ounces, so she was very, very small.
Yeah.
So we were in the NICU for about 3 months before we came home, and it was a roller coaster. Every day was different. Yeah. Some days we would come in, and the doctors would tell us she's doing great, everything's going well. And then the next day we would come in the hospital and they would say, "Hey, we got to sit down and talk. Not sure. Some things aren't looking great." So it was a roller coaster. But for us, she's a miracle. She's here. She's a fighter. We couldn't be more proud of her.
Dad, can you tell about why the doctors call you Dr. Kat?
So, sometimes you have that parental intuition, and she was having some issues with feeding. So, she was so premature, they would feed her very little bit, and it wasn't coming out, And so over time, they said that she started crashing. They had to incubate her. She went through a little bit of a stressful moment there for all of us. And I was telling them, I said, "Hey, I think that the problem is she's been eating and nothing is coming out. And over time, what goes in has to come out." Mm-hmm. And so they were telling me, no, that's not it. It's this and it's that. They all different kinds of things. And so one day I ended up coming into the hospital after her dealing with this for like 2 weeks of, being incubated and just very, very difficult time. And they said, we wanted to take a lower GI scan, and it seems like she was clogged up. And so they were calling me Dr. Kat because they said the whole time I was telling them what the issue was, and they weren't listening to me. But like I said, sometimes you have that parental intuition,
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. What does self-advocacy mean to you? This is your first time here speaking at the Speak Up and Speak Out, and so what does self-advocacy mean?
It means making the world better and making change.
Awesome. Yeah. What are you most excited about being here at this conference?
Just inspiring others, and hopefully people will do the same.
Awesome. Yeah.
For her, the key was to try and be as, inspiring as she can be for, mm-hmm. for other people that are coming up with some of the same challenges. And so we wrote a few things down, but she decided she wanted to throw some stuff in about her sister.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk a little bit about her sister because they have a really incredible bond.
Awesome.
And I think they're both really lucky to have each other.
But sometimes we fight.
Yep. Sometimes they might get it at each other's throat a little bit.
It's kind of like a sister-sister conflict.
That's right.
But deep down, she loves me, even though that she, even though that she hates deep feelings. She understands.
She does. She
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Can you share a little bit more about your sister and your?
Can you talk about Zoe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Zoe is 10 years old, gonna be 11 in December 9th. Mm-hmm. And I remember December 9th, 2014, I held Zoe for the first time, and it was a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Anything else about your sister?
I remember when she was a toddler, I saw her walk for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Mom, look, Zoe's walking. She's walking to the dining room."
And what does she mean to you? What does your sister mean to you?
No matter how troubled she is, she's still my sister.
All right. Also, yeah, great. Great answer. I'm sure a lot of people learned a lot from that part of your story and everything that you shared. Because I told you when we came back to our podcast booth here that when I was your age, so I spoke a little bit when I was your age in high school, but not on a big stage like what you did, and so it's, I mean, I guess for any self advocates here at this conference, any age, or even hearing for the first time to hear you speak, I'm sure that there'll be, like, the word, I guess, inspiration is thrown a lot in our disability community.
That's right.
And sometimes different people have a different view of
that
word.
That's right.
And so a lot of times, even saying that others will be empowered by you, both at the conference and now being on this podcast, will be empowered by your story.
I feel like I'm like Taylor Swift because she did the podcast with the Kelce Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, just like that.
There you go.
Just like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never. I don't know if I want to admit this on air, but I've never watched the podcast or really have. I've never listened to her music, but
that's okay.
But I guess
that's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's for a different demographic.
I think so too. Yeah,
we're on the same page.
Yeah. But yeah, what brought you and your parents to this Speak Out Summit? Did you get connected with Samantha, the executive director, or what brought you guys here?
Yeah, it was an hour, I think, IP meeting or transition meeting.
But who was it?
Laura Fine.
Laura Fine. Yep.
Okay. Laura Fine emailed Samantha, the executive director of ARC of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And they worked together with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they do with you?
They trained me to
speak up and speak out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And from your parents' perspective, how do you support Ava and in this self advocacy in in the community.
You want to take this one or would you like me to?
You can do it.
I think like anything, we support her fully with her dreams. So whatever it is that Ava would like to do, we're obviously going to support her. So whether it's taking her to meetings with people like Samantha, just being there for her when she has questions or helping her in any way as far as like maybe writing a speech. We really try to do anything we can to just support her because we are her biggest fans. We are her biggest supporters. And, you know, we couldn't be more proud of her.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'll... Oh yeah, yeah. My dad's throwing some questions off camera here. So, Ava, what do you expect of your parents? Because I'm sure, like a lot of us with disabilities, want to be able to share our story in our own words. And so, what do you expect of your parents?
My parents are awesome. They adore me. Even if I have trouble, they still adore me.
Support you.
Support me and all the way. My parents don't think that I have a disability. They think that I'm just a regular teenager.
Yep, that's a big one.
Awesome.
I tell people all the time because sometimes, you know, people that don't have, you know, the community that we have or aren't really aware of what it's like to have a child with a disability, sometimes they'll see Ava and they'll tell me like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, or they'll say something along those lines. And I tell them, don't be sorry for me, because when I see her, I don't see the disability. I see a perfectly normal girl. I think she is extremely bright, smart, beautiful, and I think she can do anything she wants in her life. And so I think that's my role as her dad, to be that guy. I'll be her cheerleader. I'll be her business partner. I'll be her father and everything else she needs me to
be. Awesome. Yeah, I love that because that's like my dad and my mom's not here today, but she listens to a lot of the, well, since,
of course she does.
Since day one and even 17 years later, still gives feedback. whether I like it or not, but still, yeah, anyway, but like even like something that, and I think probably a lot of parents that are all listening in or a lot of self-advocates like Ava, like you and myself, relate to what you both just said about how our parents don't see us with a disability, even whether it's a physical disability like CP or an intellectual disability like myself. Our parents don't see us with having a disability, even though the outside world, you know,
they might not understand.
Yeah, they might understand, but it's really supportive that all our parents see us that way.
Whether it's a physical disability or emotional disability or even a mental disability, there's a quote that I like. I don't think of it as a disability. I think of it just a regular ability.
A regular ability. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's a perfect way. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will take that away, that it's just a regular ability.
Absolutely.
What do you hope others will take? Hopefully our listeners will come out to next year's conference, but what do you hope to take away from this year's conference?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. What do you hope to take away from the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit, this conference that we're at this week? What do you hope to take away from it?
Is it a benefit?
Yeah, how is it benefiting you?
I want.
Most people would rather attend a corporate team building workshop than search for auto and home insurance.
Who's ready for the trust fall?
Level up with the new Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card. It works like other credit cards. Simply swipe, tap, or spend in store and online to earn attractive crypto rewards. Spend in dollars and earn in crypto with the new Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card. Learn more at crypto.com/cards. Credit card offers are subject to credit approval. Crypto.com Visa Signature Credit Card accounts are issued by Comenity Capital Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license.
The chair people to not wait 5 months. And I also want other people, like teenagers, to respect people with disabilities.
So that's what you're trying to bring the people, right? And that's what you're trying to advocate for.
Yes.
But what are you trying to take away from the conference? Would you say maybe confidence?
Yeah.
How do you feel after going up there and speaking in front of everybody? Do you feel more confident?
I feel more confident. I feel proud of myself. I feel like proud.
Proud.
Mm.
Okay. Awesome.
So pride and confidence?
Yeah.
Maybe you feel like you can do anything now, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. And I think when you spoke on stage, Samantha said that your high school was I'm watching you speak here today. And so when you go back to school this week or next week or whenever you go back, what do you think the response from your classmates of all different abilities when you come back? Because I'm sure they all saw you speak on stage. They saw you go off the cuff. They might not have known that you went off the cuff, but we all know. And so what do you think the response from your classmates is going to be?
First of all, I think my teachers would say, "Oh my gosh, Ava, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of you." And they would hug me. And I think my boyfriend would hug me too.
Okay. How about the rest of your classmates?
They would respect other people with disabilities.
Yep.
And not bully them.
Okay.
Awesome. 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 Yeah, that perfect message. From your parents' perspective, what do you hope? I'm sure you guys are probably not in the classroom, but what do you hope, whether it's Ava's classmates or families or other parents in the school, what do you hope they will?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. I think people that don't have someone in their family with these challenges sometimes don't understand. So I guess it would just be maybe some understanding. Maybe they can see, you know, how amazing Ava is, and they won't see the disability as much. Maybe they'll see her as more of just a peer and a person.
And thanks again for letting me use this tape. Daniel Smorkowski, host of Special Chronicles, and you can find his work at specialchronicles.com along with the entire interview with Ava Cott and her parents. So check that out and enjoy many of the other episodes that Daniel has available. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No, I'll stay.